Good afternoon. It is Monday, about 5 o'clock here in Seattle on April the 8th. That's a big eight, the one that follows 7, 2019. It's been a great year. I hope you're happy. I hope you're happy with what you did. Whatever you did, and you know what you did, I hope you're happy about it. I'm kidding. I don't know if you did anything. We're all guilty. That's the thing about living in the United States these days, and frankly, that applies to pretty much the whole quote-unquote modern world, is that you're basically walking around, you're a criminal, because you don't really know how many laws there are, how many regulations there are. You're probably in violation of 3 or 4 on any given day, and so if the state really wanted to monitor all this shit, yeah, you're a criminal. You're just simply pending arrest. And actually, that sounds like a really good name for a novel, a dystopian novel, Pending Arrest, The Story of the Future. But really, that's how I feel most of the time. Like when I was detained by the Metro Police or the Metro Security, when I was detained by the two Stasis or Nazis or SS jackbooted thugs, taking basically the light rail because I didn't tap my little Orca card on the Orca card kiosk. When I was detained, and I was detained, I was literally detained. No real habeas corpus on the Metro. But when I was talking to them and I was thinking about that, I realized, yeah, it's one of those reminders. Everybody, everywhere in America, unless you have a lot of money, because really, if you do have enough money, you can put up one of those financial force fields called corruption. But for most of us that are not super rich, we're all just kind of pending arrest. You don't know how many laws you've broken today. Most of you, I've been on the roads with most of you. I'm sorry, but, and here's the thing, I'm an anarchist. I hate the cops, but, and I don't hate them as in I think you should kill them. I'm just not a fan of how we do law enforcement. But yeah, I see how you drive, you fucks, including the fucking cops. They're the fucking worst. They are the worst. But anyways, I've seen how all you drive. You drive too fucking fast. You're too fucking stupid. It's no wonder so many people die on the highways every year. You're all just really shitty, terrible drivers. So I know you're all breaking the law out there. You're all doing things. You're all taking that little label off the mattress. You know you are. And you know the FBI is keeping track. You must know that was a psychological test. Why would anybody give a fuck if you kept the label on the mattress? They just want to figure out how many of you would pull the label off. I don't know. I don't know. There could be some worldwide mattress scheme. I mean, actually, that sounds like a good name for a mattress store. Mattress scheme. Come to Mattress Scheme and we'll figure out a way for you to get a mattress. But it ain't going to be pretty. And that's the thing. That could be what it could be called. The Mattress Scheme. Come to Mattress Scheme and scheme with us. We'll scheme you to dream you. We'll scheme you to dream you at the Mattress Scheme. Fuck. Also, if you notice I'm pausing and you can hear a glug glug, it's because I'm drinking some coffee, so please don't judge me. I mean, you can judge, I don't care, but I ask that you don't. So anyways, I was looking at some news today. In one of the articles of hyperbole, there are a lot of these articles of hyperbole these days. And when I say articles of hyperbole, these are the news articles that have headlines that are designed to shock and create a general sense of fear. And one of them was about the retirement crisis. This was the greatest retirement crisis in history coming up. And here's the thing, folks. Y'all need to know something. I know some of you are really fucking stupid, but I need to remind you of a little matter of fact. The world existed before 1945. There was an entire history of the world. In fact, most of world history existed before 1945. So if you actually, or I should say, why don't I just say 1900? Or perhaps 1913 would be the best date. The world existed before 1913. And for millennia, for centuries, there was never such a thing as retirement. Now, you could say, Dan, well, that's because they worked the slaves to death. And you know something? That's true. And if you think that's different than today, God, you're stupid. Okay? A lot of people out there are basically burning themselves out, living extremely unhealthy lives, and constantly getting speeches from jackasses. Well, look at all these fat people, and oh, look at them eating that junk food. I'm going to let you in a little secret. These stupid jobs and the stupid food and the stupid places people live, they kind of go together in an all-purpose package, you stupid fuck. Anyways, I hate all the judgmental bullshit out there. It just disgusts me. We have really toxic food. Does it amaze you why we have obesity? If you think the obesity caused the toxic food, you're already suffering from brain toxicity. You have a brain issue. The gross food is causing the obesity. It really is, for the most part. That and the toxic lives we live. And it's fucked up, you know. But anyways, I went off on a tangent there. That was a strange little tangent of discussion. Ugh. Why was I talking about that? Why did I care about that subject? What was up with that? I need to remind myself because I really hate these tangents of mine. I think I'm getting dementia. Anyways. Yeah, so the greatest retirement crisis in history. I just don't get it. I understand why people talk these stories like, well, Dan, everybody needs to have a retirement fund. And listen, I think having money in savings is a great idea. Currently, I don't have any. Currently, I am deeply in debt. Currently, I am circling the toilet bowl of economic existence. And currently, I don't give a fuck. Currently, I'm not going to live in fear and guilt my whole life because I made some mistakes. And those mistakes, because of the way our current system works, get amplified. Currently, I live in an America where wages and salaries have been more or less stagnant for my whole life, but the price of shit, that's not stagnant. But I'm constantly told, excuse me, I'm constantly told there is no inflation currently. There is no inflation except for the things you need to survive. Well, I don't think you have to have higher education to survive. I actually think that's a load of shit. But my point is this, guys. The retirement crisis is bullshit. I don't want to belabor it. It's just, I think that in an ideal world, people would be allowed to live freely and have economic relationships that make sense. We would probably have a sounder economy. Not probably, we would in a free world. But we currently don't live in that world. And in our upside down reality, there's been a lot of racketeering. And where there's racketeering, there are lots of people taking a cut. So if you're asking me, where did all the money go? Dude, you built a giant pile of money and then you're surprised it's gone. It's like going out to Little Saigon and piling a bunch of rice and then being surprised that the crows come by and eat it all up. Are you stupid? The government does not work. But anyways, retirement crisis. I'm done with that topic. This next one's related to, okay, so you guys who listen to me know that I've been, other than my interest in street arts, or I should say street action or street habitats, you know, because I relayed the story about the man on Saturday sexually assaulting the Toyota Prius, that I have a deep interest in the habitat of the Seattle streets. But other than that, you also know that I've been kind of, to be blunt, to be honest, I've been obsessively listening to Dane Wigington, and then I've been listening to some of Guy McPherson's podcasts. And I gotta say, if you don't know who Guy McPherson is, he was a professor, I think, at Arizona State University, but some university in Arizona, I'll leave it at that. He was a tenured professor, and now I think he's a professor emeritus. And, you know, he seems like a smart guy. He's a very, very dark guy. He doesn't say he is, but he is. His message is very dark. It's very bleak. okay? And he makes fun of people who grasp onto hope. And I gotta be blunt. I kind of agree with that, and I don't. I'm a Christian. So as a Christian, I actually can't give up on hope. But I totally see his point. I kind of see his point on that. Like, people just kind of just hoping and wishing that some problem will go away. And it may be what gets us into the worst messes of our lives, really. I've done it myself. We've all done it, where we just sort of hoped a problem would go away. Anyways, Guy McPherson is really dark. And I've been listening to him. And I think he seems like a decent guy, okay? So I've been trying to be balanced about that. But I gotta be a little bit negative on the guy, because I think that people should have different perspectives. And here's why I'm gonna be a little bit negative. He's talked about, in his presentations, he talks about this basic paradox between how civilization is a heat engine and it's essentially, you know, setting up a situation of runaway greenhouse. But on the other hand, civilization and its industries also produce aerosols that cool off the Earth some. So if we stop civilization, the aerosols fall out of the sky, and all of a sudden we get even more rapid heating on Earth, and then all of the methane goes, and then we're all done. And I don't want to oversimplify, but that's kind of it. That's the whole thing. Once the methane that's currently kind of captured around the Arctic is released, the game is over. According to some of these guys, game over. I mean, within months, the Earth could be unlivable. At certain temperatures, you'll simply just cook. You know, your organs will cook. You will not, your body will not be able to maintain its temperature. You will simply die. That's really bleak, okay? But here's the thing, though. His message is about being excellent and showing love and knowing there's nothing you can do about it. But the problem is, there's things that produce aerosols that have consequences where it's hard to find the excellence and the love. I'll give you an example. War. War produces lots of aerosols. It really, really, really does. If you don't believe me, you have not studied modern warfare. So it's sort of like, because the thing is, one of his messages, McPherson's messages, well, I don't want people to stop now, because if they do, the Earth will heat up faster. If they stop driving their cars and building, you know, factories and running shit with coal, the Earth will heat up faster. Well, if we stop the wars, the Earth would probably heat up faster, according to McPherson. And yet, I gotta say, I'd prefer to stop all these stupid fucking wars. You know, one of the things that McPherson and Wigginton talk about, but mainly I've heard Wigginton talk about this, are the days after 9/11, when there were no airplanes flying, basically, over the U.S., and how, based on a study, it showed that the temperature was going up. Like, that was one of the outcomes, is that the temperature actually rose faster. I think that's one study showed that, although, again, these studies can be really weird, okay? But I would still prefer, even if all these wars produce aerosols, I would still prefer the war's end. That's just my opinion. So I kind of feel like McPherson's, his view is a little too cruel. His view is a little too, I don't know how to put this, cold-hearted. I can ride that wave with him about let's not stop the aerosols. I can't ride the wave of, well, but all of this aerosol creation stuff we need? Like, can't we just do something instead of blowing up all these cities and killing all these people? Couldn't we end the war? So yeah, I don't know. I feel like McPherson's message kind of just sort of, it ignores a big blight on human civilization that we should stop immediately if we can. And that's all these stupid fucking wars. I'm not saying it's going to fix anything. And according to McPherson, it might raise the Earth's temperature. But we need to stop all these stupid fucking wars. Yeah, and it's just one of those things, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. So yeah, are we stuck in a situation with respect to the world where if you believe what Guy McPherson is saying, we're kind of screwed? I don't know, but I just feel like, yeah. The other thing is this. One of the consequences or side effects of our currently really toxic civilization is cancer. I'm not saying all cancer. I'm not going to claim that, okay? But I do believe that the disorders of cancer and autoimmune that have popped up in the last century have been mostly due to the way we currently live. That is my opinion. I could be wrong. And I've seen people I love die of cancer, and it's not excellent. It's not wonderful. It isn't graceful. You know, one of the things McPherson will talk about is how we need planetary hospice. But listen, when my sister Nancy was dying, okay, I was having dinner with her 1 week, and then 5 weeks later she was dead. That's how quickly the stage five progressed. But it wasn't peaceful. She might as well have been living in the 16th century and to be on the rack of some inquisitor like Torquemada. Her organs were exploding. Her bones were cracking. The tumors were expanding. Her death was not peaceful. I'm not saying she didn't take it well. You know, my sister was courageous. My sister was a great mom. My sister's somebody who I wish was still here. She did the best she could. But how can anybody handle that well? Under so much friggin' pain. And the only thing to deal with the pain is a massive load of drugs that basically conks you out, so you're not even there. So I think McPherson describes the hospice thing the way a lot of these, I don't know, he's a smart guy, and I think he's been through the school of hard knocks, but he still has a little bit of that academic view about things. You know? Hospice might seem peaceful and graceful if a person is dying over the course of years, if they mostly have their brain intact, and then they just sort of die in their sleep. Well, gee, that seems peaceful and nice. Or maybe it's months. But if it's a few weeks of stage four cancer, and I may have said stage five earlier in this because that's a Freudian slip. If it's stage four cancer, it's just brutal and nasty and short. That's the life. And I guess I have a hard time finding McPherson's sort of quasi-Buddhist peacefulness in that. And that's the thing. And oh, by the way, that is the thing. And I think, and again, I'm trying to be nice. Like, I think McPherson's a smart guy who has integrity. And I do not know nearly as much about climate sciences as he does. So that's why I'm on the line of trying to, like, say, well, maybe I would tend to give him the benefit of the doubt. But his way of looking at it, we got 10 years and let's just all be excellent and love each other, it sounds way too much like Bill and Ted and not enough of what we really need. And that is just to have an honest conversation about all the things we are doing right now that we should stop immediately, like the stupid fucking wars, like the stuff that's giving people cancer and autism and dementia. We should stop that immediately. That bullshit should have stopped yesterday. If we gave a fuck about other human beings. So in some ways, McPherson's message is very self-indulgent. But that's okay, because I also think I believe he is an honest broker. I do. I think he's truly trying to raise alarm. I don't want to beat up on somebody. It looks like a lot of people have attacked the guy. And I'm not going to be another person who says, oh, this guy's just a worthless, crazy person. He sells doom porn. I'm not going to say that. Not only do I think that he's honest and intelligent and an expert in his field, but like I said, he makes a persuasive argument in terms of explaining what's going on with the mechanics of the climate right now. And I have, over the years, I've read articles about the methane problem. And all the methane that's currently captured. Forget the fucking cows. Ignore the cows. The cows are not the problem. The problem is all the methane that's currently trapped that will be released as the Earth warms up. And the problem is that once that methane gets basically released, it could be game over. It's not that we're all going to suffocate overnight. That's not what's going to happen. The Earth is simply going to heat up a lot. And it will heat up so much that at some point, being a human being without some sort of, you know, spacesuit will be difficult. I mean, I suppose we could live in spacesuits. But I don't know. I was perusing the news on Zero Hedge, I think it was Zero Hedge. It could have been Drudge. It was some type of shocking story. There are a lot of these shocking stories. This shocking story has to do with a new mystery illness that involves fungus that's among us. Fungus that's among us. You remember when you were a kid and you say fungus among us and you thought that was funny? Well, anyways, there is fungus among us, and it's this kind of and I may have talked about this in another podcast already, so if I did deal with it, I think it's a funny topic, but there's all this fungus, supposedly. I think it's Candida, and supposedly Candida has become really resistant to all of this fungicide that all these farmers are spraying, and it's starting to attack people. This is a really bad science fiction movie. This is a really, really bad sci-fi movie. You can imagine people covered in fungus when you're walking down the street, slowly being eaten alive, and it's like, hey, where are you going? I'm going to work, but my fungus says we should go, you know, work out first. And it's like, holy fuck, your fungal colony is now cohabitating with your human consciousness, and it's all going awry. This is a bad sci-fi movie, this Candida that's spreading around the country. It's killing people. It's killing people. And I can't imagine dying from a fungus is very comfortable or painless. I mean, these things are, you know, pretty much vicious killers. I mean, they're at that level, at the cellular level, they dissolve their food. They're kind of like, I guess, spiders or flies in that way, but they dissolve their food with, you know, they dissolve their food before, while they're eating it. So yeah, this is not a good thing to be covered in fungus, getting chemically burned by fungus as it eats us slowly. I don't want that. But I gotta be blunt about something. And before I go into subject, I should mention something. When I was very young, when I got to college the first time, at the University of Washington in 1993, I worked on a boat in the Gulf of Alaska for a while. It was a NOAA ship. That's National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration. No, I did not have some scientific job. I had a basic kind of just really shitty, stupid job. Ordinary, onboard, ne'er-do-well, clean the cabins and flush the toilets and work with the cooks. I had the shittiest job on the ship, but it was kind of a fun thing. They patrolled the Gulf of Alaska. They did fish population studies. Every once in a while, the captain would, you know, would actually stop operations and we would all go fishing. It was actually kind of a fun, it was a pretty fun summer. It was not a job I needed a college degree for, but it was a really great summer. Anyways, one of the interesting things about that stupid fucking job is that they used a substance to clean bathrooms that amazed me. They basically used hydrochloric acid in solution. So I think they used a 10% solution of hydrochloric acid to clean things. And so whenever you would go cleaning, you'd have to bring a gas mask. And the reason why is because when the hydrochloric acid would interact with anything like water with salt in it, you could get chlorine gas, get chlorine released. So yeah, chlorine gas, like World War I, you know, or maybe the Iran-Iraq war, but anyways, chlorine gas can really mess up your day. It burns your lungs, it can kill you. But they would use hydrochloric acid. So for years and years and years, so I was working on that boat and they would use hydrochloric acid to clean the bathrooms. And I gotta say, if you have a really nasty bathroom, maybe hydrochloric acid is not the worst idea. See if you can get it at Home Depot. I was about to say something really culturally insensitive that if one of my other sisters who's married to somebody from India was listening would be upset, but I'm sure there is a demand for hydrochloric acid out there to throw in people's faces because this just isn't the America it used to be, but now I'm being kind of racist, so I'm going to stop. So I went off the side topic about the acid related to the fungus among us, the Candida, because I've had this athlete's foot, I've had athlete's foot, I think, for 30 years now, and I can't get rid of it. It's horrible. It's slowly devouring chunks of my feet. It's turning the bottom of my feet into this really hard, rough layer of almost like, if you can imagine, slats of pine wood. Like the bottom of my feet are becoming hard and dull, and just, it's just terrible. And yeah, so and periodically I'll get that fungal spray to keep the little buggers at bay. But I'm thinking, what if I just get some of that 10% solution hydrochloric acid and just dip my feet in that for like a few seconds, maybe 5 minutes, and then pull my feet out. Now, maybe not 5 minutes, maybe it should just be like 10 seconds, but maybe 10 seconds of hydrochloric acid, and I can get rid of all of those, athlete's foot fungus. And maybe even that's how we can treat this candida problem. Like, we could have dipping pools, like, people could go and just listen, dip yourself in hydrochloric acid. Take care of the candida. And I would say, once again, this is a really terrible dystopian story. This is a dystopia. This is a fucking dystopia. We've got people sexually assaulting hybrid electric vehicles. This is a fucking dystopia, people, in Little Saigon. We're envisioning the use of hydrochloric acid to clean our feet. Because this is where we're at. There is so much filth on the streets of Little Saigon. So many little buggers. And then all of the glyphosate and all the other crap and the MSG in our Chinese food. What the hell? It's all terrible. It's all filled with aluminum and barium and strontium. And none of those are the good ones. Those aren't the good ones. That isn't, I just didn't list out vitamin A or vitamin D. And then, according to McPherson, we're all dead anyways. Within a few years, maybe. In fact, a few months from now, if we have an iceless summer in the Arctic, like there's no sea ice in the Arctic this summer, that too could trigger massive runaway methane expulsion, massive runaway positive feedback loops in the Earth's temperature, and we'll all be cooked like Krispy Kreme by Christmas. And here's the thing, am I laughing because I think that's bullshit, or am I laughing because I think it's ridiculous and absurd, or am I laughing because the universe itself can be a question mark, or am I really laughing because I've been reading my Bible and this story of human beings fucking themselves, the story of human beings making terrible decisions and ruining their own lives. This is a long fucking history. This is not recent. It isn't recent that human beings started screwing themselves. No. This has been going on a while now. This, in fact, there's something called original sin. And you could say if you fuck yourself out of paradise, you basically fucked up big time. Anyways. So I laugh and I try to take laughter as a way out, as my escape hatch from this place we call Little Saigon. And everyone has their own Little Saigon, so You got your own Little Saigon. It may not be in Seattle, it could be someplace in Wyoming, it could be someplace, maybe, I don't know, could be someplace in Mississippi. There could be your own private Little Saigon in Mississippi where you're drinking your frickin' old-timey moonshine out behind the shack with your dog named Jake, out where you hang the raccoons after you get done killing them, so you can eat them tomorrow in part of your raccoon stew. You're all out there, Mississippi. Have a great evening.